I'll just read these today. We'll read verses 1 through 4, but Psalm 102 has an inscription as part of the title, and some psalms do that. Most of them don't, but it gives you a little context. And so Psalm 102, the title reads, A Prayer of the Afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. And then verses 1 through 4, I'll just read, you follow along. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. And let's pray. Lord, this is a psalm that is filled with intense emotion, and one that is written by someone in affliction for others who would be in affliction. We pray today that we could receive strength from it. Lord, there are a lot of hurting people in this world, and it's hard enough to go through the stormiest days of life when we know you. I can't imagine how difficult and hopeless it must be for those that don't know you as Savior. And I pray today you would encourage your people to trust you in affliction, and to be mindful of those around us who are afflicted, and to point them to you. Pray that you would teach us to be more like Christ because of today's message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 102 is unique. We read in the inscription that it is a prayer of the afflicted. This is written by someone who is in affliction and written for those who would be in affliction following. When I look at life, I kind of categorize it in four basic types of distress that can come in our lives. And I know it's much more complicated than this, but just kind of a general view. The first distresses in life that I notice are the daily drips. It's just the daily things in life that keep happening. It's like Chinese water torture, you know? One drop on its own isn't a big deal, but you start just putting them in, stringing them together, one after another, and it just gets old real fast. And when I was a child, I didn't understand the phrase, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, that's ridiculous. How can a piece of straw break the camel's back? As I've gotten older and faced life, I now understand the phrase, the straw that breaks the camel's back. You know, you can be going through life and you're barely making it and everything is going on and things are heavy, but I mean, you're functioning. You're going along. And then something small happens that shouldn't be a big deal on its own. And all of a sudden now it's just way too heavy. And everything begins to break down and crumble. This is the daily drip of life, the daily distresses. It just never stops. I mean, Monday's coming, and then Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and bills have to be paid, and meals have to be made, and houses have to be cleaned, and just over and over, day after day. You with me? Where sometimes it's just like, this gets old. The mundane things of life. So that's one type of distress. Then I see next what I call the messy middle. This is when you're in the not-so-fun times of life, whether it be a certain project or a certain space in life. You know, sometimes when we're starting new things, it's all exciting, right? So the beginning of things is really exciting, and finishing something is really exciting, but then there's the middle. And the middle's not so exciting. The middle is just when you have to push through. Sometimes, and it's different than the daily drip, where it could just be a myriad of different things, but this is just a time of life or something's going on in your life where you just wonder if you're going to be able to push through this middle. And you know if you can get to the end, you see the end coming, you know it's going to work out good, but it's just difficult there in the middle to stay focused and push through. Then next I see the temporary trials. These are the things that happen in life perhaps tragedies, but it's temporary. It's something that happens for a time, and then it's going to be over. And as awful as it is at that moment, you know there's going to be an end where life is going to basically go back to normal, right? So think about a broken leg. As awful as it would be to break your leg, the doctor says, listen, you broke your leg, you're in lots of pain. He gives you some medicine, he puts a cast on it, and he says, you know, however many months, in 2 to 4 months, you're going to be back to normal. And with a little bit of rehab, you're going to be okay, and you can play basketball again, and you can play, you know, it's not going to affect your work schedule. That is a temporary trial or a temporary tragedy. It's awful, but it's got an expiration date, right? Then lastly, the categories that I see in suffering in life is this idea of abiding affliction. This is a tragedy or a trial that has come into your life and it doesn't have an expiration date. You have no idea if it's ever going to change. It's a game changer. You don't know if your life's ever going to be the same again. Normal isn't normal anymore. And that's affliction. Now, the good news is, regardless of where you are today on that scale, daily drip, messy middle, temporary trials, or abiding afflictions, the good news is God is the answer for them all. Amen? And God can give you strength for them all. But each one of those come with its own problems and difficulties and practical solutions that need to be employed. And so today we're going to focus on this idea of abiding affliction. Psalm 102 tells us its purpose. It's written for those who are afflicted, overwhelmed, and pouring out their complaints unto the Lord. Do you see that in the inscription? When a prayer of the afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint for the soul. So what is affliction? Affliction, in Webster's 1828 dictionary, is defined as the cause of continued pain of body or mind, as sickness, losses, calamity, adversity, persecution. So there are many variations of the word afflict and afflicted and afflicts and affliction in the Bible. Matter of fact, 179 times in your King James Bible, a variation of the word afflict is used. This is a common theme throughout the Scripture. And it is an abiding pain, an abiding hurt. It's a trial or a trouble without an expiration date, as we said. It can be a pain of the body. So we think about chronic pain. We think about things like cancer or cerebral palsy mentioned earlier, or Lou Gehrig's disease, or some of these situations that just, they're here and they're either probably going to take us to heaven or maybe God will deliver us from them. But I mean, this is the game changer. It also reminds us that it can be a pain of mind. Some people are afflicted in their mind. Maybe they are healthy physically, but they have some type of ongoing mental pain. Maybe it is some type of anxiety, some type of fear. Maybe it's a way of thinking that is leading them down a place of path. Maybe it's a brain tumor that is changing the way that they think. Maybe it is some type of relationship problem where everybody involved is physically healthy, but it causes an extreme amount of pressure on people emotionally and mentally. See, not all pain is physical. I know people that would rather lose an arm than go through some of the things they're going through right now, if they had a choice. But they don't have a choice. Afflictions come, and they often come to stay, unless God changes things. It says here that it could be a loss. Maybe you've lost your home. Maybe you've lost a job that you've had for years and now they're telling you that you need to change careers, something that you've done your entire life, maybe 20, 30 years, and now there's no place for you anymore. And they're telling you that there's you just need to make a change, and that the fear that comes along with that and the affliction, the adversity. Maybe it just seems like there's everything's fighting you. No matter how hard you try, you can't get ahead. No matter how hard you work, no matter how much you try to save, it's just that abiding affliction that you can't pay the bills, and every single month you're scraping. You're trying to pay the bills. You're trying to put food on the table. You're praying about what groceries you can get. You're begging God for extra money to help make the ends meet. That is a type of affliction where it just weighs on you so heavily and doesn't seem to stop. Or persecution. Maybe someone is hunting you or fighting you, or you have an enemy that is constantly attacking you. And of course, we all know we have a spiritual enemy, don't we? So affliction is the cause of continued pain of body or mind. Now, next it says that this is a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed. And that word overwhelmed is important. It literally means to clothe or to cover. It's like taking a heavy blanket and throwing it over someone and they can't get out from under the blanket. You get covered by troubles and trials. Part of overwhelm is you just don't see an end to it. You know, humans can take an awful lot of pain and suffering if you can see that there's a finish line. But what if there's no finish line? What if you don't see an end in sight? What if no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you suffer, if you just wonder if it's never going to change, that is when the human spirit starts to crumble without Christ. This overwhelm, the blanket of affliction, causes darkness, confusion, and fear. And overwhelm can become consuming without God's help. And then let's look here, this word complaint. He says, and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Now the word complaint in your Bible doesn't mean the way we usually use it, like stop complaining. The biblical word here doesn't mean to find fault or to express dissatisfaction. You know, if someone's complaining, it's like, well, this food's not what I want. Or it's not cooked well enough. Or, you know, that could have been better. You know, this complaining. And by the way, complaining gets old, doesn't it? If you hang around complaining people very long, that just gets old real fast. Nobody's ever happy. That's not the phrasing here. The word here means to express sorrow. So he's not complaining about his state. He's not saying, God, this isn't fair. This isn't. He's just expressing his hurt. And it's good for someone who's hurting and going through an affliction to be able to talk about it. Now, I want you to think about in your life, have there been times in your life when you have been afflicted? And maybe you were afflicted for a time and you wondered if it would ever stop, and then God gave you deliverance. And praise God. But maybe there's some here today, and I'm sure there are, that you're afflicted today. I mean, you're still carrying around pains and hurts and pain of body and mind for situations or problems or difficulties in your life, and it's still not done, and you wonder if it ever will be. There's a big difference between the effects of short-term trials and long-term afflictions. So we talked earlier about this idea of temporary tragedies or temporary trials. You break your leg. That's hard enough, but what if you have a leg that gets amputated? Big difference now, isn't it? It's never coming back. It's a new life. You've got to learn how to walk all over again. You've got to learn a new way to balance. You have to deal with the phantom pains of a leg that's not there, but your brain acts like it's still there and in pain. You've got to learn to deal with, if you have some type of prosthetic, that stub wherever you're placing that prosthetic, that soreness and the pain of dealing with that and learning how to use that. I mean, it's a game changer. And this is the way we need to think about affliction. Affliction is not the broken leg, it's the amputated leg. It's not the trial that comes, and as awful as it is, we see an expiration. It's the thing that comes, and it may never change. We've got to learn to live with that. And so we see here in Psalm chapter 102, the cry of the afflicted. You see in verse 1, he began, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come before thee." And we see his pain mentioned here in this. Look at verse 3. "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as in an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread." Have you ever been so in so much pain that you just can't eat? Have you ever been in so much personal trial and affliction that you not only can't eat, but you forget to eat? It's just not even on your radar. You can't even think about it. It's possible and terrible. Verse 5, by reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave unto my skin. So now you see he's losing weight because of this trial. It's changing him on the inside and the outside. He's weeping so much. He's groaning so much. Verse 6, I am like a pelican of the wilderness and like an owl of the desert. I watch him as a sparrow alone on the housetop. So here we see loneliness. It's lonely to suffer. Verse 8, mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. So we see, we get into the condition of the afflicted. So he begins to explain his situation. And whenever we're afflicted, the proper response is to cry unto God. And affliction causes us to cry out to the Lord. Where else can you go when your heart's breaking? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Where do you go when you don't know where to go? And the answer should be you go to the Lord. And the Lord can cry, you can cry out to him and he can heal you. Now here's what happens, and you watch this in your own life and in the lives of others. When someone reached the point of affliction, they either run to God in desperation or they run from God in bitterness. How many of you, and I don't need an answer, but think in your own heart and mind, how many of you know somebody who is mad or bitter at God because of something he allowed in their life? And that's because you're either running to God or you're running away from God. And maybe you're running to the bottle, and maybe you're running to the drug dealer, and maybe you're running to a new relationship. Maybe you're changing your geographic location. But I promise you, you're either running to God or you're trying to run away from him. And the right response is to run to God. Amen. And we can pour out our complaint. We can express our sorrow to God. We can tell him about all of our hurt and disappointment and worry and fear, because God alone can help us in our circumstances and heal our spirit. And we see the cry of the afflicted. And then we see the condition of the afflicted. And we could read all the way down to verse 11. Let's pick it up in verse 8. Mine enemies reproach me all the day. So people make fun of you. People say it's not that big of a deal. People say dumb stuff like, hey, suck it up. Grow up. Life goes on. Just get on with it. Don't be a baby. Don't be a sissy. And you're sitting there thinking, I can barely breathe. I can barely function. And you're not whining about it. There is just such a weight of affliction upon you. And people say sometimes things that aren't very helpful. And it's good for Christians to learn how to help people in their pain and hurt, and say things that Christ would say if he was there. Look at the rest of verse 8. And they that are mad against me are sworn against me. Now here's what happens. If someone doesn't like you, or someone's got aught against you, or they're bitter against you, when you start hurting, they often sense blood in the water. And unfortunately, sometimes people use your weakness as an opportunity to attack you. Now that's not fair. That's not right. They should be running to your aid, but they don't. Maybe you begin dropping some balls, and rather than saying, boy, what can we do to help her? She's really struggling. They say, look at that. See? Oh, you thought you're such a good Christian now. And sometimes the people that are upset at you, they begin attacking you as they sense your weakness rather than try to encourage you. Anybody ever been there? Look at verse 10, because of thine indignation, thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. Sometimes we'll feel like God himself's mad at us. You ever had something bad happen in your life and you're like, hey, God, are we okay? Just want to make sure there's nothing between us. And that's a good place to start whenever you're sensing affliction, or maybe you've got some, you need to check and see, is this affliction or is it chastisement? And God will tell you, because God's not spanking you and playing hide and go spank. Right? If God's trying to get your attention, he wants your attention. If you go to him and say, hey, Lord, is there anything between us? Is there something I need to change? Is this chastisement and you're trying to get my attention or change my heart? Or is this something else? And God will let you know. And if it's chastisement, then change whatever he's been telling you to change. And if it's affliction, then run to him and surrender. Look at verse 11, my days are like the shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. So here we see the declining days. You know, one of the hard things about affliction is when you're hurting, life keeps going. Life doesn't stop, does it? It just keeps on going. Think about someone who's sick, someone who's really, truly sick and bedbound, and day after week, month after month, year after year, they're just watching life pass them by as they're almost a spectator instead of a participant. It's like, Lord, my kids are growing up. I'm going year after year, and I'm just seeing life pass me by. Think about those in the nursing home that maybe I knew a guy one time, he was in the nursing home at 49 years of age, in perfect health. But his family had placed him there, and they had found reason to place him there. And he was looking at, if God gave him normal life, he was looking at 20 plus years in the nursing home where he could see the outside from the window. That's a special kind of pain and hurt. Anybody ever else been like that? And you're like, hey, you know, I need a better job, Lord, and life's passing me by. Or you know what, Lord, I haven't been able to have kids yet, and I'm getting up in age, and it'd be nice to have some children. Or you know what, Lord, I'm trying to do right, but I'm not married yet, and the biological clock is ticking, and everybody else around me is getting married, and all of these things. If you're not careful, it'll feel like life's just passing you by, and you're in the sunset of your life, and it begins to add more and more pressure and stress when we stop trusting the Lord for His timing, and we begin trying to make it fit our own. Look at the end of verse 11, and I am withered like grass. Now we see weakness. Have you ever known someone who is so strong and then they got sick and they became weak? And the physical ailments just begin to suck up their strength. Maybe emotional strength, where it used to be nothing would bother you, and now all of a sudden you're so fragile, where it just seems like you cry when you didn't used to cry. And sometimes you even get frustrated with yourself. Like, why am I crying over that? I shouldn't be a big deal. Because there's weakness now brought in by the affliction. But then we see the hope of the afflicted. We see the cry, the condition, and the confidence of the afflicted. Look at verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. So now you see a change, a pivot in the whole sense of the psalm, the whole feel of the psalm. He's been crying out, he's been complaining, he's been pouring out his sorrow, he's been telling us about how he's in pain and turmoil and hurt, but now his attention turns to the Lord, and his confidence gets restored because his eyes are on the Lord. And this is the same way it is with us, folks, that whenever we're going through affliction, we need to turn our eyes to the Lord and sense His strength and sense His sovereignty and sense His ability to change whatever happens. And sometimes He will take away the mountain, and other times He'll give you strength to climb the mountain. Sometimes He'll calm the storm. Other times He'll give you the bravery to go through the storm. But either way, the confidence is in Him. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. So here's his hope. Lord, I know that You're still in control, and I know You have a time on Your schedule where things are going to change. Now, it might change whenever I pass over this world into the next life. My body won't hurt anymore in heaven. I won't have any more problems or pain in heaven. Or maybe You're going to change something here on earth. Think about Job. He had lost everything, and then just seemingly on a dime, he's healthy. His wife's confidence is back. He has 10 more children. He's twice as wealthy. That's what God can do. And see, we understand that not only is God in control, but He's working by His calendar, and He has a time when He's going to change things. And we begin to trust in that. Look down at verse 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. So what about those that have been hunting you, those that have been fighting you, those that are using your weakness as a reason to attack and to try to gain ground on you, or take your position or your reputation, that they've been attacking you? No, the heathen's going to see the glory of the Lord. Verse 16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. See, what's the confidence of the afflicted? I know God hears me. I know He hears me. I may not see it change today. It might be day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, but I know you hear me, and I know you're in control, and I know you've got your own calendar. I know you haven't forgotten me. I know you love me, and the confidence is in the Lord. Verse 18, this shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. This wasn't just for him and his generation, it was for all generations to come. Verse 19, for he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Oh, I wish tonight I could, this morning I could get you to understand how much God loves you. I wish this morning I could get you to understand how much God is concerned with you. I wish some of you teenagers tonight or this morning, God would be able to place in your heart how he is concerned about you. And Christianity is not just for the adults and the older folks, it's for you. And God knows your home situation, and he knows your hurts and your fears and your pains. He knows that you're trying to figure out your place in the world and wondering where you fit and your emotions are changing. He's aware of all of it. I wish that God could convince you. I wish this morning God could come into the heart and mind of some of you senior saints, and you feel like the time's just passing on and you can't do all the things you used to do, and all the people you've known and many of your close friends are already gone on to heaven, and it just seems like that the older you get, the weaker you get, and you can do less and less, and the fears of not wanting to be alive and just exist and all of these things. I wish God could come into your heart today and remind you that he knows exactly where you are. He is familiar with your fears, and he is with you and for you. It's a blessing. I wish he could come into those of you that have families and you're struggling to pay the bills and you're trying to have a good marriage and things just maybe aren't going right and the job is struggling, or maybe the bills are just too much and growing and rearing kids is more work than it was a little bit ago, and something's changed, and maybe a little something's changed in your marriage and you're just trying so hard to keep it all together. Let me encourage you that God knows where you're at, and he loves you, and he's with you and for you. It's powerful. See, affliction, if we're not careful, Satan uses affliction to take our eyes off the Lord and then to begin telling us lies about God himself. He doesn't love you. If God really loved you, he wouldn't let this happen. If God cared about you, he would have changed this yesterday. God doesn't hear your prayers. Satan begins to lie, but the confidence of the afflicted is to look past that and knock Satan out of the way and say, my eyes are on him, and here's what the Word of God says. It's powerful. Look at verse 23, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, oh my God, take not me away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. You know what? Sometimes God will allow things in your life that weaken you. But physical weakness often opens us up to God's strength. Maybe he'll weaken our confidence and our pride in ourselves so that we can have more confidence and glory in him. Weakness is not always a problem if we're allowing God to use it. Look at verse 25, Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture thou shalt change them. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end. See, here we're putting our confidence in God. Listen, the earth changes, culture changes, my situation changes, the world around me is constantly changing, but he's the same. And whenever we're seeking stability and we're trying to figure out where we're going to land, we know that he's the same, and he's our rock. In verse 28, the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established forever. So here's the last thought in this beautiful psalm. It ain't over till God says it's over. You don't have to worry about dying before it's your time. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us. You have an appointment with God. You don't have to worry about dying before it's time. You're going to continue. You say, well, I don't know if we're going to make it through this situation. You're going to make it because you're going to continue. Well, I don't know if our family is going to make it. You can make it if you keep your eyes on God. I don't know if I can handle this trial. You can handle it if you keep your eyes on God. As the Bible says, the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. It's not over until God says it's over. And when you struggle, and even when you have bad days, and even when you have days that you wish would end, anybody ever have a day like that? You ever have a day where you just want to go to bed early and get it over with? But I love that verse, his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. No matter what kind of day you had today, you wake up tomorrow and God's there to meet you with his grace and his mercy. And we're going to keep going. You put one foot in front of the other. You say, well, preacher, I can't walk very good, then limp. Well, I can't limp very good, then crawl. But you keep moving forward, and you'll make it through today, and then you'll make it through tomorrow. You keep your eyes on God, you make it through the next day. Next thing you know, you're stringing together some days in affliction that, watch this, the rest of the world around you looks at and goes, how are they doing that? Because I would fold. I would crumble. And God gets the glory through your faithfulness. You say, I'm not being very faithful. Keep your eyes on him. Keep moving towards him. He's got a way of bringing glory to himself. Amen? Amen. This is the prayer of the afflicted. It helped the person God used to pen it. It's helped countless up until now, and it can help you today and the rest of your life if you let it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. This is the prayer of the afflicted. Maybe you're going through some things that are heavier than you let on. Maybe people know you're going through something difficult or struggling, but they have no idea how close you've been to throwing in the towel. They have no idea how much stress and pressure you're under physically, emotionally. You need to learn to go to God and just let it all out. And it starts right now. Would you give God your weakness? Would you give God your pain and your hurt? Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, my life's fine right now. There is coming a day when you're going to need this message. And today you ask God to file it away in your heart and remind you of it when you need it. Maybe you're doing okay right now, but there's someone in your life that's struggling and hurting, and you could use a message like this to point them to the Lord. Encourage them. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure you're saved. There's no reason for you to go to hell when Jesus died on the cross for you. You could be saved today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand.